The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
This is the Commodore Hour on a rainy night here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Fisher, great to be with you. Three Commodore head coaches joining us tonight on what's in some ways an historic night in terms of Vanderbilt football, as you may or may not have heard. The Commodores contest with Missouri coming up on Saturday night has been postponed. Certainly the Commodores hit with the COVID issue. We will talk about that with Commodore head coach Derek Mason coming up momentarily. And then in the second half hour, basketball's about to get started. Both Commodore head coaches are going to join us in the second half hour. Commodore women's head coach Stephanie White and men's head coach Jerry Stackhouse. But first, coming up, Derek Mason. We'll talk about what's taking place today and what took place last week for the Commodores in a tough game against South Carolina. That's all next on the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. We are glad you're with us for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher with you. Glad to be joined by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. The news earlier today, Vanderbilt's scheduled football game at Missouri this coming Saturday has been postponed. The Commodores dealing with the COVID issues that certainly hit the team last Saturday against South Carolina have carried over to this week, and as a result, that game has been postponed. So, first, Coach, welcome, and it's been a heck of a 72 hours or so, hasn't it?
Thanks, Joe. Absolutely. We know that, you know, the season was going to, you know, present some challenges, but I thought, in looking at, what's transpired, I think our league has done, really well just in terms of everything that's going on, but I just want to say this much, when you look at, where we're at, I thought we knew going into the season that there were going to be disruptions and the likelihood of something like this, could occur was going to be something that was on the table. But, when you're playing football in the midst of a pandemic, then you understand exactly what that is. I mean, I think our league, as well as our athletic administration, our campus, have all been in conversation, just understanding, exactly where we are, from injuries to, COVID-related issues, the opt-outs. I mean, it's a challenging time, but, nobody's more probably, impacted by this than our student athletes. And they want to play ball, but you look at it 1 week at a time and you understand exactly where you're at when you talk about health, safety, and welfare of the student athlete, and it's about protecting those guys. So in looking at it, that's where we were this week, and every day is a new challenge. So what we're going to do is, continue to attack, what's in front of us and do what we can to make sure that these young men have an opportunity to get back on the playing field when it fits us.
I'm going to ask you, Derek, to take us inside the room a couple of times, if you will. First today, because I think a lot of us thought this might happen, given the number of players that you had out for Saturday. I think a lot of us thought this might be the case. How did this all play out, yesterday and today?
Well, I think, again, you take it like 1 week at a time. Obviously, last week, we were sort of looking at, where we were, and we understood going into the game where we were and played the game, wanted to play the game, and, had our fair share of opportunities to play good ball. After you finish the game, obviously you look at, injuries, you look at, where you are, you got a round of testing coming up on, Sunday. And then, when you look at your test, man, you figure out, exactly where you are. And, unfortunately for us, I mean, we haven't had, any, huge numbers, but I mean, any number is huge when you start talking about all the things that go into it, whether you're talking about, contact tracing or, where you are injury wise. And, in looking at it, and we had some concerns yesterday evening. I mean, and knowing exactly where we sat, we've been talking with our athletic director, our medical staff, as well as the league this morning, and to confirm exactly where we were. And in doing so, made the best, made a possible decision for the, health, safety, and welfare of our student athletes. And that's paramount in this. We want to play football. We want to be competitive, man. We want to have a chance to win, in these times. But we also have to look at the data and what the data, tells us in our safety protocols, that are in place, like within the conference. Speaks to the idea of having, available players, at a minimal number. And, like this week was just, a challenge to do so. So, just talking with our people, man, we move forward, and that's where we sit now.
I'm curious, Derek, what was the conference's reaction? Because you had to make that call, to the SEC office. What was their reaction when you said, hey, I don't think we can do this week?
But our office, the SEC office, is about obliging exactly, what the procedures and protocols were. And they didn't flinch. They didn't blink. I'm sure they went on to have, conversations, with both teams to figure out exactly, what would happen and what should occur. And again, this was something that we knew in our conference would happen. Obviously, man, this is the first, roadblock, to come up, or sort of hurdle to jump over. And I thought they handled it, in the right way. Missouri, handled it the right way. I think everybody understands. I think Eli, was on like Feinbaum, and he talked about the idea of absolutely understanding exactly where we are. And I think, everybody's going to be faced with it at some point in time. I mean, we've seen college football, have to look at, this, like in a real light to figure out exactly, what's to be done in instances like this. And this isn't the first instance, and it probably won't be the last in our league. But, again, what we're trying to do is just make sure we always look out for the health, safety, and welfare of the student athlete.
It looks like, and the word is out, and I don't know if it's been confirmed, that this game would be moved to December 12th if everything plays out according to plan. And, we'll see how that plays out. But so –
right.
What do you do this week, Derek? With the guys that you have, is it 3-4 days off for the guys, or do you practice this week? How does this week go?
Yeah, I think we're on a testing protocol, which is great. And our injuries, our guys are still in the building, receiving treatment, in regards to injuries. And so, for us, we'll do what we always do, man. We'll meet via Zoom, like we've been doing, since the beginning of the season, to minimize risk. And, from there, we'll talk about, how we look to proceed forward, with our season. Then we get back to work. Our student athletes continue to go to class, and we'll continue to, monitor, where we are, throughout the week. As you know, we've got, testing on Tuesday, testing on Thursday. We've got treatment every day. And so, this is a situation where and understand where your numbers are. You understand, where they're going to grow, and that guys are going to be coming back to you. But with that being said, again, we're going to continue to stay in this phase where we continue to take in the information, evaluate, where we are, in day to day, and we continue to lift and do the things needed and necessary to hit the practice field and get better. We're just doing it with a minimal number of student athletes, and right now, that's not a number that, allows us to step on the field and play on Saturday.
We're talking with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason here on the Commodore Hour. Glad to have you with us. Derek, jump us back. I want you to jump us back to the end of last week. I think a lot of us knew. I knew about Donovan. I knew you had that issue. But I don't think anybody, including me, realized how many guys were going to be impacted by that. And it kind of drives that home, that point about it's not just about a positive test. It's about the contact tracing around those people. Just walk us briefly through the impact it had on you and the coaches when you find out I've lost about half my starting defense.
Yeah, I think in this, we have to be flexible, in these times where, from day to day, you're looking at, some challenges and some things that, you may have to, be flexible around, and that's one of them. And so, in understanding that, you continue to, you know, look at your depth charts. You continue to prepare guys. I think I said at the beginning of the season that there had to be, you know, starters and starters in waiting. and that's really what it's been. Anytime then you're faced with, you know, like these types of situations, and I don't think anybody's got a playbook for it, but you do have to adapt and adjust. And, you know, in looking at it, is it ideal? Never ideal, but we do understand that, you know, I mean, guys are practicing, then you put guys in position, you want guys to play well. And, you know, I mean, I thought, you know, man, for a greater part of that game, when you look at the first half, you know, like these guys played, you know, man, good football, you know, in light of the circumstances, the situation. I mean, they went out and competed, and there were some things that didn't necessarily go our way, but I saw some things that, you know, you say, hey, look, okay, we understand that, you know, man, we got players in our program, we're continuing to build, and we want to win games, we want to be competitive, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when you look at this, I mean, it's just the challenges within the challenges, you know, I mean, are those things that you just got to continue to push through. And right now, that's exactly what we're doing.
That's Coach Derek Mason, who is with us. We're going to take a break. Vanderbilt football brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. We'll talk more about on-the-field stuff with the coach after this. We continue with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason here. And, Coach, I wanted to ask you, when you had all those guys that were not available, it just forces a next man up for a bunch of people. And I called a bunch of names on Saturday that I really haven't called that much this year, guys like Jaden Harrison, Ethan Barr, Christian James, Chase Lloyd. I mean, what is the positive that there is of getting those guys in there in the lineup right now?
Well, you don't mean the positive of what you gain by, you know, thrusting some, you know, players who have maybe not played as much or getting first opportunities, you know, to play, is that, you know, guys get on the field experience, they get in-game experience, they get situational, you know, experience. They are allowed to look at these game plans, get on the field, get the speed of the game, understand, you know, how the game, like, needs to be played. And, you know, what they do in-game is on tape. So that's information for these guys. But, you know, but to go back a little bit to what you were, like, talking about earlier, I think, you know, I got to give our guys, like, this group of, you know, young men a lot of credit, because it's not necessarily what they've done wrong, because I think they've done, like, everything right. But I think it goes back to what you talked about or what's been talked about before in our conversations about, you know, how contact tracing and other things can actually, you know, change, like, your numbers in your situation. I mean, guys can do everything right, man, but when you're contact traced and you're around, you know, X number of people, whether it's your roommate or whether your dorm roommate or your on-the-road roommate or, you know, like contact, you know, in and around, like, eating in a facility, those things matter. So our guys have done, you know, a terrific job, and I got to give them a lot of credit, you know, man, for doing so. So I think, like, the things that we've experienced have been, like, some one-offs, but, you know, I mean, when it's all said and done, getting back to, you know, I mean, our student athletes that had to play, I think, you know, those guys being put in those situations is only going to benefit Vanderbilt football as these guys continue to play and understand exactly, you know, what this league needs in terms of stepping on the field and being able to play SEC football.
We talked after the game Saturday, Coach, and you addressed this, and you had two really good scoring opportunities early in that game that could have changed the complexion of the game and weren't able to cash in on them. And you even mentioned, boy, when that happens, it sort of has a snowball effect with this team. You know, adversity, and they don't seem to react as well as you would like in that situation. How do you address that, and how do you get over that hurdle?
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, but this group at a lot of different, like, positions, I mean, like, they haven't been, you know, here before. And so, man, you're learning, you know, like, how to deal with the, you know, man, you know, adversity and ebb and flow of a football game. And the thing that we keep talking about is, like, attacking these situations. You know, hey, attack on offense, attack on defense, attack on special teams. Sometimes, man, you're going to be put in, you know, like, a situation, man, that's not advantageous to you. And what you got to be able to do is respond. Whether it's defend a blade of grass, whether it's, you know, make a play. Don't wait for somebody else to make a play. If opportunity is there for you to make a play, go make it. And, you know, that starts to become a habit. And, you know, people talk about, you know, the difference between winning and losing, and it's small. We went back and looked at this game and the opportunities that were there, you know, in it for us to actually, you know, seize momentum, and we did. And when you don't, okay, you start to, you know, look at, you know, what the body language looks like and how guys mm-hmm. are, you know, staying focused in the moment and whether or not the technique slips or moves a little bit here or there or you know, are guys trying to do too much instead of doing their job. And that's really where, you know, I mean, the game could get away from you. A game that was, you know, close and tight, you know, it moves a little bit. It's a play missed, a play made. And this group's got it in them, you know, like to play the type of football we want to play. What you got to do is just continue to look at the information, correct the things that need to be corrected. Man, and let's make sure, man, that you know, confidence and the ability, you know, like the focus in those moments where we need it, you know, like is there. And they're working towards it, and all we got to do, man, is make sure we capture the moments.
I got to ask, Coach, and I know you deal with this at positions all the time, but, you know, there are some positions that kind of sit out there that are more glaring than others. You've got an issue. You have one right now in the kicking game. How do you address that? Does it become an open competition once again, or how do you just instill confidence, you know, in the young man you've got there right now that you're with him and he's going to be able to work his way through this?
Well, you know, confidence is, you know, definitely a lot of times about, you know, I'm like competing and winning. And staying on edge and being pressed. And, you know, I mean, the competition is open, you know, I mean, again, and not from a standpoint of hey, you know, we're looking and searching. We know what Pearson can do, but the bottom line is, okay, like, it's a production-based game, you know, like, in terms of being able to be in the moment and get it done. He's got a strong enough leg. Okay, like, we do have belief in him, but, you know, we need to put him in a competitive situation, you know, again, you know, that where guys are healthy, where we can go at it, and let's make sure, hey, man, best man wins. That's really what it comes down to, and I think everybody wants that. That's how, you know, you're able to keep an edge about yourself is through, like, the ability to, you know, compete and be able to play under pressure, and that's really what this thing is. I mean, this conference is going to challenge you. The situations are always challenging. But more than that, okay, I mean, you're more than capable of rising to the occasion. Pearson is capable of rising to the occasion, but, you know, you gotta put them in those situations again and again and again to make sure then that it starts to become production. Because if not, you know, it becomes the definition of insanity. I mean, you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's just not the case.
This is I'm not sure you know the answer to this one, but I thought about this driving over here to the studio tonight. You know, the rule in college football recently is, you know, a freshman can play in up to four games. And you can still redshirt. You know, you have that opportunity. Does that still apply this season when you're playing 10 games instead of 12?
Well, this season is an anomaly. It's different in so many ways. Whether we're talking about, you know, like what we're playing in the midst of, or you know, what's available in terms of number of games played. So, like, the NCAA provided some leniency in what this year. You know, would be for our student athletes, and it's really, you know, I mean, a free year, an opportunity, you know, I mean, to get experience and not really have the year count against you just based on, you know, what we know. I mean, we can't foresee, you know, what the future holds, but we do know and understand that we're playing in the midst of challenging times, and I think that's what's led, you know, some student athletes to say, hey, man, if I can get the valuable experience in this year and not really have it count against me, I can really learn. Football, I can understand what the speed of the game is. I can, you know, see where I'm at, you know, like versus, you know, some of the best talent in the country and understand what I need to, you know, grow in. And I think all of that's a plus for the student athlete. I think the rules that are in place give them some peace of mind as to, like, not having to worry about, you know, I mean, is this year my last year? Do I need to petition for another year? It's just about going out there, getting better. You know, playing the game that you love to play and making sure that you gain, you know, like, whatever valuable experience, okay, like, you're able to obtain, you know, through being able to, you know, get out there and you know, and test, you know, what your skill set is and against some of the best, you know, talent in the country.
So, Coach, finally, you've been around the guys after the game, and I know you've been around them, you know, obviously today. Where's this team right now mentally? I mean, you know, I know they're frustrated. I know they're disappointed. Where are you, and where do you think this team is right now?
Well, this team understands what, you know, a snapshot through three games has been. And, like, where you've been, you know, isn't definitely where you're trying to go. You know, I thought Dial said it best, you know, when he spoke, you know, to the team after the game. And that was all about, you know, seeing what's there. Like, what is, okay, what are we missing? What do we got to grab? But this team's got a different piece about them. They got a different, you know, grind about them. They don't take anything sitting down. I mean, it's just been about a piece here or a piece there. So what pieces, okay, like, do we need to, you know, invest in, knock out, conquer? You know, push, you know, from one player to the next in order to get us from where we are to where we want to be. And I think that's what this team is. I think Dio is a great representation of them because his motor runs hard. He understands, like, for him, where he wants to be now. And I think, you know, he's getting these guys to go with him. They believe in him. They understand, you know, what's at stake. They want to play winning football. They want to win games. And that's in front of them right now. So this is a chance for us right now, as we look at it, to get better as a football team. What's there? What's on tape? What do we need to fix? And how do we move it forward?
Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. I know things are not going the way you want them to go right now, and things are tough. But I appreciate your time, and we'll get through this, won't we?
Dynamite when Vandy starts to fight. Let's go. Anchor down.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much. That's Coach Derek Mason joining us here, as always, on the Commodore Hour. We're going to shift to basketball. When we come back, as Commodore women's basketball coach Stephanie White will join us, and then a little later on, men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. That's all next, right here. Throughout this season, our Keys to the Game feature will be brought to you, as always, by Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. College basketball practice officially begins this week, and we are thrilled to be joined by the head coach of the Commodore women's basketball team, Stephanie White, beginning year number 5 as coach with the Commodores. And let me just start out with, Coach, are all your folks okay dealing with all of this COVID, everything we're dealing with?
Yeah, everybody's healthy, thankfully. You know, it is a one day at a time, and, you know, ever cautious. World that we're living in right now. You know, I think the most important thing for us navigating it throughout the summer and as we've been on back on campus is it's put things back into perspective for us and making sure the health and wellness of our student athletes and our staff is at the forefront.
Now, I got to ask you this. This crossed my mind earlier today, and so I hope you'll forgive me for this, but you spent a little time as a TV analyst.
Yes.
So you've done some work in the media. Mm-hmm. Does that help you deal with people like me?
I hope so. You know, I not just dealing with the media, but I hope, you know, understanding the other perspective, understanding getting information out there, understanding, you know, wanting to know, understanding asking hard questions, you know, understanding all of those different things. And then hopefully it makes me, you know, better to work with because I do understand that and I understand the perspective. And as a coach, the importance of getting things out there. So, it's an interesting perspective that I do have. I got to say, it's I enjoy both, but it's also awesome to be able to sometimes play both sides as well.
Absolutely. We're talking with Commodore Head Women's Basketball Coach Stephanie White. You've taught before, and not casting any aspersions on previous groups that have been here, but you've talked about having to deal with a culture change. You know, and trying to do things and get this thing to where you want it to be. Do you feel like you made some pretty significant progress last year and will be going into this year?
Yeah, no question. You know, I think we took really great strides last year. It's been piece by piece. It's been brick by brick. And we have, you know, a core group and a core group from a culture standpoint that's on the same page. You know, basketball players who want to take ownership of getting this program back to the top, who love the game, who love each other, who fight for each other. You know, I think the thing about the COVID crisis that we're dealing with right now and you know, it tests all of us, right? It tests all of our resolve. It tests all of our patience. It tests all of us, you know, at the core of who we are and what's important. And I am so incredibly proud of this group for the way that, that we've continued to stay connected, the way that we look out for one another, the way that we're continuing to grow and develop as a unit. Because we know as adults, this is hard stuff that we're dealing with right now. And these young people that we're dealing with on a daily basis in our program are doing an outstanding job of navigating these challenges and finding ways to connect and stay together.
You have added a familiar name and face to your staff in Marquez. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about adding her and what she brings to the table for you.
Yeah, I'm so excited about Marquez coming into our program as a coach now. And since the day Marquez Webb graduated from Vanderbilt, I've been trying to find out how I can get her back. You know, certainly I know as a coach and as a player that you need to get it out of your system. To play for as long as you can. But to be able to have brought Marquez back last year in a support staff role, it was really to prepare her to be an assistant coach whenever Sharika or Coach Kelly got a head coaching job. And, you know, fortunately for Sharika, Sharika Wright was able to get a head coaching job. And she's going to go on to be an amazing head coach. And Marquez is ready to step into this role as an assistant coach. She's got a coach's mindset. She studies the game. She loves the game. She loves Vanderbilt. You know, she's the epitome of what a Vanderbilt student-athlete is, and I'm just so thankful and grateful that we have her on our staff.
I'm curious, Steph, this is year five for you. How has your perspective changed, if any, and I'm sure it probably has, in this program and in winning in this conference and winning nationally from when you took this job in year one to where you are now?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. You know, I think that any time that you take a new job and any time you take a job in the SEC and at a place like Vanderbilt, you know, you sort of come in with rose-colored glasses and think it's going to happen quickly and think you're going to get to where you want to go to, you know, immediately. And it's just not the way it works. You know, I'll never forget going through the process and, you know, talking to the folks at Vanderbilt about, you know, it's different. It's different here, and we have to approach it differently. And it takes a few years to figure it out, right, to figure out who can be a student-athlete at Vanderbilt, what it takes to be successful, you know, the demands that our student-athletes are put through every single day, not just on the floor but off the floor. And so for me to really, I think, regain perspective in you know, it might not happen as quickly as we want to, but doing it the right way is the most important thing. You know, getting the student athletes who fit Vanderbilt, getting the student athletes who want to be a part of building something special, and taking no shortcuts and getting to where we want to go. Because ultimately, it's about sustaining excellence, not just getting to excellence. And so for me, you know, making sure that we continue to do it the right way. We have a really great core group to build on. You know, we've got some really good traction in the recruiting game right now and just continuing to take it one step at a time.
I want to ask you about that finally, Steph, because you've got some veterans coming back, but you've got some new faces coming in that I know you're excited about.
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, you know, we're going to continue to build on our outstanding freshman class. And, you know, we've got some great new faces that are coming in. We have some transfers that have come in as well. And we're continuing to gain some ground in the recruiting trail. I think the biggest thing is now we return a core group who was hungry to win, who gained experience last year. You know, we doubled our win total, but they gained experience in the SEC, understand now what it takes, and are hungry to get better and are hungry to compete. And we see that every day in our workouts. And I think that's the best thing when our kids are competing day in and day out with one another. We're continuing to build. You know, we're going to be running a different system. We don't have Mariela Fasula down low anymore, so we're going to be running a different system. It's kind of a tough time to put in a new system offensively. You know, with not having as much time as we would have normally had, but at the same time, we're getting an opportunity to really retrain our minds, getting an opportunity to think about the game from an IQ standpoint, and we're really excited about where we're going.
No one said it would be easy, did they?
That's right. Nobody did, but hey, very few things that are worth it were easy.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, I'm so glad everybody is well, and we're thinking of you, and hope all goes well. Looking forward to this week and looking forward to the time when we can all come and see you. You know, at some point that will happen, we hope.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, until then, I hope everybody stays safe. I hope you know, everyone's health and wellness is the single most important thing, and we look forward to when it's safe and the opportunity arises to see each other again.
Best of luck, Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Stephanie White, Commodore Head Women's Basketball Coach. We'll take a break. We'll come back and visit with the head coach of the men's basketball team, Jerry Stackhouse, right after this on the Commodore. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to have you with us. It's great to have Commodore Head Football Coach Derek Mason with us. Of course, in case you have not heard, the Commodore game with Missouri this weekend has been postponed. Commodore is dealing with some COVID-related issues. It doesn't just come down to those who have tested positive. A lot of it comes down to contact tracing, and those players have to be isolated as well. And so as a result, Commodore's numbers were down in terms of how many players they could provide. And so that game has been postponed, probably will take place on December 12th. That's what we think the schedule will provide. Then Commodore Head Women's Basketball Coach Stephanie White joined us, and now glad to be joined by the head coach of the Commodore men's basketball team, Jerry Stackhouse. And, Coach, I guess golf season's over, huh?
Hey, Joe. Not quite yet, but it's winding down.
I thought about you, and, you know, you had a prolific NBA career. And this NBA season, they lock them in a bubble down, you know, in Orlando. What would that have been like to spend a couple of months or so in a bubble like that?
Oh, man, I think it was, you know, the guys know that they were there for business. Obviously, the league and did a great job of you know, creating a bubble, you know, creating a safe haven for those guys to finish out the season. I actually texted with Adam Silver today, just, you know, giving him a big kudos for, you know, such a great job, man, for us giving our fans still a taste of basketball. You know, obviously hope that we're able to play our season and not have those type of setbacks that some of the other leagues are having. But I thought they did a tremendous job. But I could imagine just being down there, and, you know, I know I would have been happy to have my family down, but until they've got there, I've just been focused on the business at hand and definitely playing a little bit of golf in between. I saw some guys doing a lot of that and a lot of fishing, so I think they make good use of their off time.
This is year two for you at Vanderbilt, and I'm curious, Stack, what your approach is. Are your feelings are different or whatever going into year two as opposed to year one at Vanderbilt?
Definitely. I mean, I think just, you know, year, you kind of know the ropes a little bit. You had one time around. I think we know a little bit more about the league, know a little bit more about the teams that we're playing. Now that we have something on tape, you know, there wasn't any coaching changes, so you're not having some, you know, new guys coming in and you're trying to wonder what their system is. I think you know, have a good idea about that. And more importantly, we know who we are. You know, we know what we want to do on the court. And then, you know, evident in our early practices, you know, our guys from last year are leading. Our newcomers are, you know, talented and blending in well, but it's definitely a big difference from, you know, last year this time and now.
Excited about the improvements in the facility?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, still, you know, putting some finishing touches on some things, shot clocks and different things, just little things, adding you know, weight room within the practice facility. So, you know, we're more practicing right now on Memorial's main court, but we'll be moving in there probably in another 4 or 5 days. So we're, you know, really excited about that. It's a great look. Our guys are, you know, really excited about it. And, you know, now it's about, you know, taking that all these nice things and getting some results from them. So hopefully having a great practice facility will, you know, translate into us having a big year.
Start of the season was moved a little bit, obviously, to later November. How difficult did that make scheduling? Did that throw a big wrench into things and you're trying to scramble to find some games here and there?
Well, no, I think Andy Fox, you know, who's on our staff, man, he's one of the best in the business at that, of making sure that we're, you know, find a talent. You know, we were in a mid-season tournament that, you know, had a team that pulled out Notre Dame, pulled out a team that we were supposed to play, but they were replaced by BYU. So we still feel like that's a great game for us, a great test for us. So it's just, and you know, obviously we got a couple of open spots that where we could, you know, kind of fill in late, maybe do a tournament here ourselves. We're thinking about doing something possibly with some HBCUs, including a couple of those teams with another, you know, Power Five team. So some ideas like that have been thrown around, but we left ourselves a little bit of room just in case, you know, and we have any, you know, setbacks, that we have a little space to be able to make up some time.
You've got an interesting mix coming back, Stack, of some veterans and then a bunch of newcomers. I want to start with the veterans. You know, talk about those, and you kind of alluded to them earlier, how they've kind of been leading the way for you. You know, guys like Cleavon and Max and Educate and so many of those guys, just leading the way for you as veterans for this program.
Yeah, those guys have been great. I mean, I think Max, even our younger guys, you know, because they've been around, they had a ton of minutes with Scotty and Dylan. Jordan Wright, you know, those guys played a ton of minutes last year, so you know they come back with more of a swag. And then you add in, you know, DJ and Quentin, you know, those guys who, you know, practiced every day last year and really know the system and coming in and bringing their talent to the fold. But, you know, and Cleavon and Max, I mean, I think they've just been great leaders in the front court. Max really sets the tone for us on the defensive end and just does a lot of things right for us. He's a senior, so I mean, I know he's looking forward to having a big year. And the new guys, they've been, you know, coming in and been really impressive. Miles Studi, Tyron Lawrence, those guys have been really good early on, doing some good things. You know, I mean, Trayvon Thomas, I was really worried, a little bit worried about our backup, you know, point guard, and, you know, he really shored up things right away. He just has a toughness about him. You know, early results from just spot shoots and shots and workouts and stuff. He's been our best shooter, so been really good. Pleasant surprise for us.
I want you to talk about that, because you've mentioned this to me before, and we talked about this last year. You said when you rolled in here, you had to teach everybody. Everybody needed to learn what it was you wanted to do. Now in year two, you don't have to teach everybody. You just got to teach the new guys. The other guys already get it. What kind of impact does that have for you in practice in getting these guys ready to play?
Well, it's just about mental focus, man. Some days those guys are supposed to know what they're supposed to do, act like they don't know what they're doing. So you know how that is. I guess if it was all good, then they wouldn't need me. But but no, I think for more times than not, these guys are really setting the tone. They're first in line. And I think that's great for those younger guys to be able to, you know, just watch what he does. Do exactly what he does. Don't come out here and, you know, saying, nah, I got to correct you when I just told him something. So I think just those little things like that, those little nuances help teams grow and really take some huge steps pretty quickly. And, you know, so that's what we are, man. I really, really like how we're moving and how we're sharing it. But just really on the defensive end is where we're really at. Ahead of the game. I mean, I think we're probably where we are right now. We would have been well into, you know, saying closer to the season, but I feel good about the things that how we're playing defensively. You know, it's tough in practice, you know. Obviously, we're guys, we know what we want to get accomplished. The defense knows what, you know, what they're trying to do, but I think the pace and the speed and the effort that we're going at is some, you know, fun film. I mean, I'm excited about, you know, when I get off of you, getting the film going and watching practice today. It's been fun, you know, coming home and watching these guys and watching them get better.
You mentioned a couple of guys, Stack, that last year, you know, went through practice, you know, sat out, could not play, that you were excited about even then. This year they're now available. I mean, how excited are you to have those guys now able to get on the court in a real game situation?
Yeah, I mean, just it gives us real depth, you know. I think it's like, you know, DJ. I mean, his ability coming in, you know, as a he was a 5-star recruit, you know, coming out of, you know, Washington D.C. out of DeMatha, and had a couple, you know, nice seasons at Notre Dame, and being able to get him in here, we're counting on him to kind of fill that role somewhat that Aaron feels for us, a guy that can come off the screens and shoot. But I think he just has maybe a little bit better, you know, ball handling and playmaking ability that we want to take advantage of and be able to get Scotty off the ball and do some different things to utilize his ability to score and shoot, you know, off the catch. So, and Quentin is just really smart, man. He's like I said, he's an engineer major, so that kind of speaks for itself. So it's good to have one or two of those guys out there.
You got some new faces too that I know you're excited about.
Yeah, man. I think again, Tyron and Miles. You know, those guys. Man, Akeem has been really good. I mean, he was looked at more of kind of a project, you know, kind of raw force. He just has tremendous motor, tremendous speed. So it's just like those are some things that we're going to be able to throw him. And then Edge, I mean, Edge is taking a big step too. So it's like he understands what we're doing. You know, just been really, really solid defensively. I mean, and improving his offensive game. So I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise for a lot of people as well. You know, I think it's good to have options now. Getting guys that, okay, you know, you got to do it right. You know, last time we had to kind of look the other way, but now we got some guys that we can throw in there and try again if guys aren't, doing things they supposed to do, not from an effort standpoint. So, I mean, I think from top to bottom, the effort has been great. And so it's just about making sure that we're focused and paying attention to the details that we need to.
Finally, Stack, and I appreciate you spending the time with me here for a few minutes. Dealing with this pandemic and everything that goes along with it. I mean, I know I've been around basketball teams and, you know, and guys love to hang around the locker room. They like to spend a lot of time there. You know, they like to spend a lot of time in the gym and all that. How difficult is it in this situation, you know, to tell these guys things now that you can't do anymore or things that you can only do anymore? How challenging is that?
Well, I think our guys really understand what's at stake. You know, they know that they want to play, they want to have a season, and they don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. So I'm glad that we have the type of, you know, maturity with our group to where, you know, they hang out together, you know, and I think that's been really good. I mean, our staff has been doing a great job of really following all of the protocols and making sure that we're doing all of the social distancing and everything that we need to do just to, you know, just in case that, you know, it's inevitable. Something's going to happen somewhere down the line. So we've got to make sure with the contact traces and all those things that we're on top of those things. I think Sha Brown and, you know, all of our training staff with Brandon Wells and Carlos Strong and Adele, our chief staff, they just do a hell of a job of making sure that everything is where it's supposed to be and things being sanitized. And like I said, our guys, you know, knock on wood, haven't had any cases, anything like that. So I think they're being where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do because they know they want to play basketball, and that's a good, you know, kind of character to always dangle in front of them.
Well, Stack, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us and looking forward to this season getting started. I'm looking forward to the time when I can actually, like, come and sit and watch practice, but I don't know when that's going to be, you know, if it's going to be this year or not. But nonetheless, we just take it day by day, but I certainly appreciate the time. Thanks.
No doubt, man. We hope so. Hope things clear up and we get fans back, all that good stuff. But we're going to make sure we keep these guys safe.
That sounds good, Coach. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Joe. Take care.
As Coach Jerry Stackhouse with us, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the Commodore Hour right after this. It is great to have you with us. Our final moments of the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Great to show. Glad to have Commodore head coach Derek Mason with us talking football. And, of course, if you have or have not heard, Vanderbilt's contest with Missouri this coming Saturday has been postponed. The Commodores dealing with the COVID issues, the contact tracing and all of that. So could not really literally field a team of enough players to be able to take part in that game. So that game has been postponed, most likely rescheduled for December 12th. So we think that's the case in that regard. We'll see how that all plays out. But nonetheless, that's the issue. So there will be no football game this Saturday night in Columbia, Missouri. I wanted to mention I had some folks that contacted me, had some difficulty listening to our game. Our flagship station, 93.3 FM, had some issues. And I just want to let you know there were some technical issues. And we are jumping through all kinds of hoops in this particular time, technically, trying to bring you games. There are no production trucks. We're doing things a lot differently all over the place. And so as a result, there were some issues there. That's going to be taken care of. So you will not have that issue again. And so I just want to let you know about that. Baseball Black and Gold Series coming up this weekend. Unfortunately, spectators will not be able to attend, but we're going to do them for live audio on BUCommodores.com. In fact, I'll be doing the games on Friday and Sunday, Friday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 1 p.m. Director of Operations Brooks Webb will join us. So if you want to learn a lot about the Commodores, the ones that have been there, and the new faces, be sure and join us. Also, the game on Saturday will be on as well. Hey, stay tuned. Max Herz, the Anchor Down podcast, is next. You're going to want to hear that coming up. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for all of you. Thanks to Coach Mason, Coach White, and Coach Stackhouse for being with us. We'll see you next time on the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.